Good morning. That was louder. You may want to turn me down. I'm a loud one. Church family. Love you guys. You're so awesome. Today I'm going to be talking about the Freedom Challenge that I was on and just some details about that, but I'm very excited because I get to share a little bit more about the spiritual aspect of everything. And the main theme of today is how I could feel your prayers and how I could feel the prayers of everyone. And so, yeah. If you want to queue up the video, but just don't play it yet, I'm going to read something first and then we'll play the video. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the Freedom Challenge and what they do first. So on October 12th to 17th, I participated in the Grand Canyon Freedom Challenge. And their Freedom Challenge is a part of Operation Mobilization, or OM. And I just want to share a blog they recently wrote. So I'm just going to read it off here. So they're talking about a specific woman. Ruth's moving story highlights exactly what life can be like for a young woman who has been trafficked into Europe. But our faithful outreach team plays a vital role in making a difference in these women's lives. Here's how. Ruth is always standing at her corner of the street waiting for customers when our team comes to visit at night. She has a smile on her face and shares a few polite words with the team. She accepts what we offer her, whether it's tea, biscuits, hand warmers, or an Easter or Christmas gift. She will reply vaguely to our conversation without ever giving anything personal away. And then she makes it very clear that the interaction is over. This has happened for almost every week for 6 years. One night, after praying for meaningful opportunities, our team went on an outreach to the streets of Athens, as usual. Ruth was at her corner and accepted her tea and biscuits and was about to turn away. Then she turned back and suddenly the floodgates opened. Out poured the story of her home in West Africa, of being brought out of her country, finding herself pregnant, brought to Greece, put on the streets, of being hurt and scared, missing her child, being attacked by abusive customers. We were amazed at God's answer to prayer. After 6 years of being politely shut out, we were able to speak truth into Ruth's life. The following week and the weeks to come, Ruth retreated back into herself and put her mask back on. We continued to pray for her more specifically because we knew better what she was struggling with. A few months later, we were on the streets one night when she was very distressed by something that had happened. She felt able to bring her fear and grief to us and ask for our help and to pray for her. This isn't a story with a happy ending yet. But God is working slowly, quietly. I love that, but God. In his own time. We haven't reached the final chapter. We're trusting him with Ruth. There are over 300 brothels in Athens, as well as studios, hotels, and stretches of open road filled with thousands of victims of trafficking. Nearly 40,000 women and children are trafficked into Greece each year from Eastern Europe, Africa, and Asia. These young women are often lured to Athens with the promise of a job. Some are sold into trafficking by family members. Others are manipulated into the work by men they consider their romantic partners. Our partner project in Greece provides a 24/7 helpline, and they have a network of people who can offer help as it is requested in the form of doctor visits, language lessons, or shelter and support to enable women to escape forced prostitution. It is for women like Ruth that we are taking on our Grand Canyon Wilderness Backpacking Challenge. Your support could bring much needed shelter, rescue, or simply someone to talk and pray with to let them know how deeply they are loved by their Heavenly Father. So we're going to share that video now.
Day ordinary retired school teachers, mother of four, grandmother of four, who just is attempting to do something significant for the kingdom. At the time, I had no idea of really what modern-day slavery looked like. I hadn't experienced any of the oppression that actually goes on in the world. What we do is invite women around the world, just your ordinary, everyday women, to get involved by climbing mountains, to be a voice for the voiceless. There is just this great satisfaction and joy in being able to get on our feet and climb this mountain to do something about it. Our very first climb, our youngest climber was 18, and our oldest climber was 73. We had a college student, we had a mom with young kids, we had a grandma, we had doctors. It's just this big conglomeration of all sorts of different women from all over the world. It's just an amazing thing as we all come together in a united purpose. What we promise them is that they will get uncomfortable, they'll get dirty, they'll get beat up, they'll just get wrecked for the Lord, and they will come back different people. This amazing transformation happens, and when that happens, we know that the Lord has done an incredible work in the hearts of each of these women. It's interesting because I don't really consider myself a missionary, but I am. And so as I go out in the world and try to really be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, I realize that's exactly what I'm called to do as a missionary.
That is the lady who started the Freedom Challenge back in 2012, and her name is Kathy, and she passed away from cancer, I think like a year ago, but through Tracy Doherty and other women, we're continuing this on. She has passed the torch, and so we're just going to keep it going, keep it lit. I'm going to read a verse that from a book I've been reading over and over again, chapter, Galatians 5, verse 1. So stand strong for our freedom. The Anointed One freed us so we wouldn't spend one more day under the yoke of slavery, trapped under the law. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about Operation Mobilization and what they do. We hike. We raise awareness, we raise money for four different aspects that OM works with. We kept these cards on our backpack as we went through. So the four areas are prevention is the first one. So in that video, I think that was taken back in 2012, there was 27 million people caught in human trafficking. In January of this year, I created a video. I said there was 30 million. I was quickly told that that was wrong. That was 40 million. So that number is growing, but a big part of it is prevention. And so if we can prevent that, that's a really good thing to do. And a huge reason, especially in third world countries, that people are trafficked, that people are sold by their parents, is not because their parents are heartless, it's because of poverty, often. And so instead of organizations coming in and helping them, sometimes there are people that come in and say, I have an option for you, sell your child to me. And if they have nothing else, if they don't have food to fill their children's bellies, it doesn't seem like there is any other option, often. So, prevention is such a big part of it. And that can be done through things like sponsoring a child, which, you know, probably a lot of you have done or are doing, through adopting a child, through fostering. All of these things, I so believe, you know, it's not just Operation Mobilization. There's so many different ways that you guys, as the body of Christ, that we are doing to rise up to help prevent this so that number can go down. So prevention is part of it. Development, again, it's kind of with prevention. Operation Mobilization goes in there and helps women learn how to take care of their families. They give them the tools to work and therefore provide. And development is a big part of it. Then, of course, you know, when you think of human trafficking, what people actually do, people often think it's just rescue. It's not, but it is definitely a part of it. And as you heard in that blog that I read, it's a long process. There's so much psychological trauma on top of their physical trauma. And so often they believe they're worth nothing more than this. Perhaps they were abused as children, and then that's all they know. I guess that's what my worth is my body, and so I might as well make money doing it. And rescue, you know, they go in there and they get these women out, and it's truly amazing when they do, but as the video showed too, 2%, 1 to 2% are freed. And that number often overwhelms me. But we do what we can do. And that's all that God has ever called us to do. He doesn't ask us to be the world's savior. We already have a savior, and he's amazing. So we just do what we can do. So rescue is definitely a part of it. And when they are rescued, if you don't have something on the back end, if there isn't something afterwards, they're going to go straight back there. Even when there is restoration, they sometimes go back there because, again, it's so psychological. So the restoration takes place. They take these women out of their dark situations. I say women. There's a lot of children, and there's also men. So I should just be very clear about that. But the restoration, they give them the tools. They hire them. They, you know, provide different work to show them that there is other ways they can make money for their families, for themselves, and that they're worth good things. And so all of these ways are how OM fights human trafficking in today's day and age. They work in over 110 countries around the world, which is really good, including Canada. So we kept these cards on us, on our backpacks as we went, and every morning we would read a story so that we knew what we were walking for. And for the rescue one, I was talking about this lady, Lane, who had been taken from her home. She was trafficked in Europe, and then she was able to be rescued. And then once she was rescued, she found out she was pregnant from one of her customers, and she decided to keep it. And they gave her the tools and opportunity to raise her baby in a safe place, to give her the tools to work a proper job. And so I love hearing that, because then every grueling step makes it worth it, you know, in the Grand Canyon. So I'm going to talk about my trip. If you want to get the slideshow ready, but I won't. Yeah, sure. Should start at the beginning. So yeah, half an hour. Okay, I can do this. I literally could talk so much about this, but I'll try and keep it short. All right, so like I said, October 12th to 17th, we met October 12th, all of us, so 29 strangers, except I knew my cousin. She was coming with me from British Columbia. Otherwise, I didn't know anyone. And you go and you just get this group. And, you know, we had pack school out on the lawn, so we're learning how to pack what we'll need, the essentials for the next 4 days. And you're meeting these incredible women. And it was so surreal. It didn't hit me. But I looked at these women thinking, God brought us all together. And we're all standing united for freedom for so many people around the world. And it was just so humbling. And I was grateful to be there. We had some good dinner before we left, which was great. And then we had a time of praise and worship. And then we got to bed pretty early. One of the girls in my room was sleeping by 9:30, but I think I fell asleep around 11:30 that night. Just too excited, which was not good for the next day. But we woke up at 4:30, put on all our stuff, put our packs aside. We brought them over to the main hotel where we were all going to head out. The prayer team prayed over us. I'll talk a little bit more about them later on. They're amazing. They just prayed over us, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting in this booth holding my coffee, and I just start bawling because it hits me. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. God has called me to this place, and these incredible women are with me, and it poured out. And, you know, my cousin's like, "You all right?" And I'm like, "Yep, I'm just realizing what we're doing. It's all good. It's finally hit me." And so we grabbed our bagged lunches, had a little bit of coffee, which was excellent. And then we all got in our vans and started off. There were three teams. I was part of group one. We had seven amazing ladies. We were the smallest group. And we started driving there. It was pitch black. We took this treacherous mountain road. I say that coming from Manitoba, where we don't have great roads. This was the worst road I'd ever been on. So we took this like 15-passenger van, right? And we're following the other two vans initially, one as a trailer. They would not have been able to go where we went. And eventually, you know, winding washboard everywhere, which we're used to. But then we split off, and it had rained the week before, and the ruts were like easily a foot deep. So you have two ruts that you want to try and stay in, but then there's crazy road, and so you have to like get up onto it and hit the trees, and the van was sideways, and then we'd see these potholes and like almost a lake, and we're like, okay, what do we do? Well, let's gun it. So there they go, and it's just bouncing, and like I thought the van was going to break. I fully thought we're not even going to make it there. Like, this is an adventure just to get there. Can I get out, please? That'd be great. And it was so bad, we ended up pulling our van over, and we thought, okay, that massive lake, we're not getting through. You know, the leaders are trudging through the water up to their ankles. They're in shorts. It's freezing. They're just, like, testing it out. Yeah, maybe we should stop. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine by me. So we ended up getting picked up by what I believe was an angel, a hunting man with his sons, that ended up taking us the rest of the way with his crazy old truck. And yeah, it was just amazing. Before we even got started, there was miracles, there was an adventure, and it was pretty amazing. So we get to the top, and the Grand Canyon is different than any of the other hikes because every other one is a mountain. You're going up and then down. And we were going down and then up. And down is a lot harder, by the way. So we get to the top, and we got our packs on, everything's good, and we start descending. And the first day, we descended all the way down to the bottom. It was 3,000 feet. It took us 8.5 hours. It was really hard. But I kept having these moments as we were trekking down, and down on like rocks this big everywhere. So they're just like shooting off all the time, and you're just hoping that you have like sure footing. So those trekking poles is like one step, you know, you want to be sure that your footing is good. And so we went down. That's me on the side of the white wall. That's the first layer. And there was a bit of a path, but sometimes it didn't feel like it. That's us going down as well. I found out I have a pointer, which is really fun. So, yes. Okay, this, I'm just going to show it on the other side. From the top down to there is the white wall. That's 2,000 feet. So we obviously came down this one. But those green trees, we just kept holding on like, hey, that's our destination for lunch. Let's get there. But during the day, you can see there's a bit of a crack here. And the Colorado River, when it rains, is down in there. And we made it all the way down to the bottom on the first day. This second layer here is called the Esplanade. It is stunning. So that was the first day. That's our team. Our team had to the very right, a 59-year-old. This was her third Freedom Challenge. She was from California. She thought an 8-hour drive in a car was long. And Sean and I and the kids had taken the drive down there, and the first day was 15 and a half hours. So I was like, it's a little longer, and, you know, the kids could do it, you can do it. But, yeah, then we had someone from Winnipeg. She was a physical trainer. Nothing was really hard for her, which was fine. And she was 49. My cousin's 46, from BC. So there was three Canadians, and we had four Americans. We had a girl from Georgia. She was 24, just full of life, joyful Jess, we called her. And then our two leaders, one from Pennsylvania and one from Wyoming. They were 29 and 31. One had come from like an Amish upbringing in a community. She hiked in a skirt until last year. And then her community kind of like, yeah, they were not happy that she stopped wearing a skirt, even on her hikes. And then Daria, she's from Pennsylvania and became a Christian at 22 in college because she had no food and the youth group had food and they invited her and she's like, yep, I'm coming. And the Lord met her there and that was just amazing. So we had a really awesome group. Is that the last one? Oh, yeah. Okay, so we made it to the Esplanade. That is me lying down because, oh, my gosh, any breaks I could take, I was like, yes, let's do that. the pack is very heavy. And then, yeah, so we made it all the way down to the bottom. To say we were exhausted is an understatement. I had nothing left. We set up the tent, and I was just sitting there. And they're like, who wants to help with dinner? I'm usually the helper. That's my go-to, but I couldn't. I had nothing. But my cousin's like, yeah, listen, I'll learn. No food has ever tasted that good. Let me just truly, we had rice and beans. Come on, that does not sound good, but it was delicious. And then, yeah, we set up our tent in the rock, and all there was is a mosquito mesh, and so you can see the stars. It's amazing. Day two started off very rough. I will talk more about that in a bit. So we got walking again by noon, and we only had 2.5 hours to walk that to our next campsite area, to the junction down at the bottom. And it was really neat because we're walking down at the bottom and there's rocks everywhere, but it's dry riverbed. And in the rainy seasons or in the flash flood, it's water. And so a lot of trees actually grow down there because that's where the water grows. And we found this spring. It was very neat. Let's see, day two. Yeah, so that's what it looks like. And just rocks everywhere. You're constantly just hoping that you don't sprain an ankle. Big rocks, very, very cool. We ended up having dinner, and every night we would not have a campfire, which I was a little bit sad about at first because I was like, there's the heat. We just piled on the layers. And then we would, that night, the second night, we would share our stories around a lit Nalgene water bottle. We put a headlamp on there and that was our campfire. So we ended up sharing our testimonies. Everybody did, some ladies for the very first time. Hearing that really connects you. I think sharing your stories, there's something so very powerful about that. And, you know, you get to learn where these ladies are from and how you are connected and how you can relate to all these different things. And just absolutely incredible. So we slept under the stars again that night. And then the third day, we had some fun. We had our breakfast, packed up everything, put it to the side. And then we got to have a fun day hike, which means no pack, which is a very big deal because the pack is very heavy. And I actually brought it. Actually, I'll just go get it. I brought it just in case anyone wants to try it in a bit. Days two and three, we had to carry extra water. So it was very heavy. I will help you put this on if you want to try it, because there's a system. But it's going to stay. So yeah, days two and three, we carried about 60 pounds on our back with the water, which was a lot more than I had been training with, but God was faithful. The day hike. Day three. So no pack, we're feeling like light as air and we're going through the narrows. And so this felt like we were on a movie set or like on Mars. It was just the most amazing thing. You can see the water run down. There's like red and black. And we just got to go through there and really bond and have a fun time with no packs on. So that was really nice. And then we got back to the place where our stuff was. We packed up again. And then we started going back up. We wanted to get to that second layer, the Esplanade, by the end of the night so that we would only have the white wall on the last day. So we're walking through, and the leaders had not walked this particular path. And it was very hard. There was lots of bigger rocks and no way to go except to climb over it. And you can't do that with a 60-pound pack. So there was a lot of pack passing. We went on tiny little, you know, narrow, crumbling on one side ridges where it's like a 50-foot drop. And I remember taking one step and being petrified and literally, God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. And I remember thinking too at one point, I might die. Nope. I'm not going to die. And I said out loud, I'm not going to die today. I can't do that. So it was pretty crazy. All of a sudden, we get on the flat again, but we did not make it to the Esplanade that day. The winds came up, and we were close, but we found a flat spot, set up our tents in the dark, had some dinner. We could hear the bats above us. They And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever because they don't want to eat us. They just want to eat the bugs. It's very neat. And then we also had dinner with this fat little mouse running around. He was looking for food. But that was definitely an experience, and it was a little colder that day. So I put my toque on, and I was trying to bring that word, too, to the Americans. It's a toque. It's not a knitted cap. We're gonna bring that to you guys. So that was a lot of fun as well. And then we slept there. We finally had the rain cover on to try and block the wind. And then we woke up at 4:30, packed up everything in the dark, had our breakfast in the dark, and started walking in the dark because we wanted to get up to the top to go back to get our van. So the last day happened really quickly. Going up was a lot easier, even though doesn't sound like it necessarily, but I think that's it. We were up by the top by 10:30 a.m., and then one of our leaders put off her pack, obviously, and then she ran 4.5 miles to go get our van, and then she brought it back. So in the meantime, we shared some more stories, had some tag time alone with God. So fun. I'm going to try and do that in my life now. Just really thought about what we had done. So that was, we got back. We had a celebratory dinner. They had like lights everywhere. They had decorated tables. And when you've literally just been surviving for 4 days, you're like, oh my goodness, am I the queen? This is great. Hot shower was very nice. And then, had our feet washed by the prayer team. They then gave us foot rubs to just show how much they loved us. It was super awesome. And then we went to bed pretty early, got up, had our debrief, a little bit of worship, and that was it. And then we were gone. And the first 2 days, definitely thought I might die. And then the last 2 days, all I kept thinking was, it can't be over already. Come on, can we just stay like a couple more days? This is too much fun. So really amazing. The people who are praying for me, you guys, thank you, thank you, thank you. Daniel Williams was telling me about how he remembered all of a sudden on the Sunday morning. That was when I needed it the most. He said he sent out a prayer. I don't know if it was in church, but anyways, thank you so much. My family, my friends, and the team of 6 prayer warriors who came out. So we had 2 prayer warriors per group. So our 2, one came from California, I think, and the other one raised the $5,000 as well. Her husband surprised her by raising that for her, and she flew out from Zambia, Africa, which I was just like, what? Come on, you flew out here to stay there to pray for us. Oh, like, crazy. So, again, the point of what I wanted to do was share with you four examples of how I felt your guys' prayer working. So the first one was on day one when we were going down the white wall. We were walking down, and my cousin Ange is in front of me, and we're going, and all of a sudden she trips and starts running, and I'm like freaking out. And to the left, if she goes there, she's tumbling down 1,000 feet. Probably wouldn't make it. If she goes to the right, she'll still get banged up and bruised up. But there was this big rock right near the end where the trail was turning. And she ended up grabbing onto the rock. And she immediately started crying, which, I mean, I would have as well, because she could have died. And I watched this all happen. And I didn't know how it was going to end. And we knew angels were watching over us and that we were being prayed for. So thank you, guys. The second was on day two. So I woke up at 5. I was the first one awake to a migraine. Felt like a train had smashed into my head. So that was not good. I woke up and I thought, okay, this might go away. I lay there for another half hour. I was like, nah, I need to go to the washroom. Okay, did that. And it was still just like a screwdriver going, you know, to my temple. And I was like, oh yeah, I brought some Advil, sweet. So I took an Advil, but within 2 minutes, I was like, okay, just let the Advil kick in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of shaking, and I'm boiling hot. And I look over, everyone's sleeping, and I'm like, oh, I'm really nauseous. Okay, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. Now I'm like, really, oh my goodness, I'm gonna throw up, this is not good. So I'm like, don't throw up near the water, like you can't contaminate it, where am I gonna go? I found a rock. And yeah, all the contents came up. And as I'm doing this, it hits me. I'm dehydrated. Like, I'm severely dehydrated. And my body is doing what I need it not to do. It's emptying more water out. This is really, really bad. And then I start crying because I'm kind of freaking out. And as the tears are rolling by, I'm like, there's more water. There's more water. No! And needless to say, the leaders woke up. They rushed to me. Basically, all I could do was sit on the rock then. They're like, what do you need? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I'm like, hey, I have to lie down. So I lay down, and I was just freaking out. In that moment, I thought for sure, there's no way I'm getting out of here except by a helicopter. Like, I can't fathom anything else, because I've threw up all the water. I've cried. I need water. I did not have enough water yesterday. Shoot. Well, I can't go back. And then one of the leaders, Melita, asked me, so have you had a migraine before? I'm like, yeah. What do? I lie in my bed all day in the dark and hope it goes away. That's not an option, so I don't know. So I lay on the rock, and they put a mat under me. They covered me with blankets, and then they also surrounded me and covered me in prayer. And that was the day you guys prayed. That was that Sunday. And thank you, because slowly but surely I slept a little bit, and then I had a sip of water, and that stayed down, which was great. And then Melita brought over her food, and she's like, does this look good? And I'm like, hey, it looks good. That's a great sign. Yes, can you make me some? So she did. They packed up all my stuff. Slowly but surely, all of a sudden, it turned into just a headache. I could keep putting water down, and all of a sudden, I could put, you know, another pain reliever down. And by noon, we were walking with heavy, heavy packs. And I couldn't see that in the morning. But I knew that I needed prayer, and I knew that God meant for me to be there, and I knew that he's never let me down. So that was amazing. Through that, we also had tag, and I memorized Isaiah 40, verse 10. Let's see if I can do it still. It says, do not panic. I am with you. You have nothing to fear, for I am your God. I will give you strength. I will hold you steady, and I will keep a firm grip on you. And I just kept repeating that and believing for it and saying, yep, I felt like panicking, But you said, don't panic, I'm with you. I'm not alone in this. And that goes for any of you, in any of your deep in the dark canyon pit moments, when you are at your lowest, literally, he will be there for you. There's two other ways that I realized you guys were praying for me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm kind of scared of the dark sometimes. And I don't always sleep well, especially if Sean's gone. I'm like facing the door. I still have these silly little things, right? So, you know, sleeping in the Grand Canyon in the dark, there's no light. We're miles and miles away from any civilization. You can't get cell phone reception. You know, there could be opportunities to freak out, right? I had full peace. Truly, I put my mat down, got in my sleeping bag, looked up at the stars and just thought, wow, man, God, you're good. And I just had full peace and fell asleep and I slept great, which is awesome. So that's another way. And then the fourth way, once I was done the hike, you know, you've been walking with this lug for 4 days. The first day, every time you have to put it back on, you're like, no, not again. Okay. And you're like, you know, you got the muscle aches and pains a little bit, but not bad, not bad. We stretched. And by the fourth day, you kind of feel like a pack mule. You're like, yep, this is a part of me. Let's go. And afterwards, you know, I wasn't sore. And I thought like, what? That's kind of crazy. But God is good. And what I felt very much doing that Grand Canyon Freedom Challenge was that I knew back in December when God had said, this is what you're doing. And I said, okay. When God asks you to do something and you say yes, as hard as it might be, he will equip you to do it. He will give you exactly what you need. He will never, ever leave you. He will not let you down. And then even if it gets hard, you're not alone in it. And that means you can do anything in the will of God. And I knew that as I was walking through there, this is God's will for my life in this moment. And it was just an amazing feeling. Yeah, run after God's will in your life because that's a life worth living. Often, you know, people may say, okay, that's nice of you to say, but what is God's will for my life? What does that mean? What does that look like? Is Daniel Fuster here? No? All right. Anyways, he had said this once, and I believe it, and I think it is so good, so I'm going to repeat what he said. He said that, you know, to know God's will in your life, first of all, it's not magical. It may not be super fancy or special. You know, I look at most of the people here, the way that you're parenting, the way that you're raising your little warriors, the way that you are a friend to those in need when we reach out in benevolence. I believe that's walking in the will of God. It's a beautiful thing, and sometimes it's grueling, and sometimes it's cleaning up barf, and sometimes, you know, it's all these things. But don't wait. And don't be petrified in, well, what if I start doing this in my life and it's not the will of God? But what if I do this? But maybe that's not the will of God. Just start moving. Just start moving. Do something. And you know what's awesome? You will know. I've known many times in my life, I've walked in a direction, started doing it, sometimes for a year, and just not feeling any peace, not feeling whatever, and then all of a sudden you go, yeah, this isn't right, okay. And you move away from it, and it's like, boom, instant peace. Okay, that's the will of God. Because God said that his spirit, you know, he brings peace. Wherever he is, he's going to bring peace. So when you move, that's a good thing. Keep moving. And if you're like, oh, this Kate, oh, yep. All right. Oh, uh-huh. This is good. Move. No. Okay. Yeah. Just keep moving. Keep walking. God will show you. He really will. And when you do, there won't be anything too difficult for you to do, because he will give you grace in each moment, in each step that you take. Our God is a faithful, amazing God. And when we went down the white wall and then down to the bottom on the first day, my cousin said two things. She said, "Had I known it'd be this hard, I would not have done this." And I was like, "Yeah, I hear you on that." And then the second thing she said, though, was, "Now we have to go back up?" Like, oh, that overwhelms me. And if anyone read my blog, then this will be old song and dance, sorry. But one of our leaders, Daria, just said immediately, and it was the best news that I'd ever heard, she said, "God didn't give you grace to go back up today. That's not yours to take on. He gave you grace to come down. Did you make it? You made it. And on day four, he will give you the grace to go back up." So that is something huge that I take in my life to live out here, not just in the canyon. If I'm thinking about Christmas now, that can overwhelm me. God didn't give me grace to have Christmas Day today. Thank you, Jesus. God has given me grace to get through this day, and not only to survive, but to thrive in his will, in his joy, in his peace. Right? So when you're looking at that mountain, you don't have to think about the top. When you know God has asked you to climb it, he will give you grace for each step along the way. And I know this because I experienced it. So with all that said, thank you guys so, so much for your prayers, for your support. And just start walking. Just start moving. And if you're unsure, stop and listen to what God has to say, because he will never let you down. Yeah. Oh, what's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the training, the 16 weeks of training. 6 days a week. So yeah, it's all part of it, right? Yeah, we'll never be asked to do something that he will not equip us to do, right? So as Ruthie said last week, you know, I mean, this goes for every one of us. If there's room in your heart, there's room in your home. And when we step out, God will make a way. He really, really will. And that goes for all of you guys as well, that if you can't see the whole staircase, the whole journey, but you feel God saying, "Yeah, climb it," then he will give you exactly what you need for all of those moments. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love for your children, each and every one of them, whether they're in the deepest, darkest pit, or whether they're standing on the mountain in their lives, or every little step on the way, on the journey. God, I just pray for this church family right now that you would reveal your perfect and pleasing will to them. And the best part is, God, when we walk in your will and it seems like it's taking away from us or it seems like a hard thing, you are actually going to bless our socks off in it, because that's how good you are. And I just pray that you would flood these people's heart and mind with your love, with your peace, and that we would run after you and that you would walk every step with us. Thank you that you have never failed me. Thank you that you will never fail us. And I just pray a blessing upon each of these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sylvia. I got to go to the Grand Canyon 2 years ago, and I hiked about 10% the way down and back up with nothing but a water bottle in my hand. And that was exhausting and grueling. And this nonsense about up is easier, I don't buy that. It's hard both ways. But anyways, thanks for sharing your story. I thought maybe just as we close, I wanted just to come back to where Sylvia started as we talked about vulnerable people and people in slavery. And I thought we could just close by just offering a prayer for those people. Father, we are slaves of you. We have given our life to you and you own us. And that's how we see ourselves. One of the ways that we see ourselves, we are your slaves and you are a good master. And Lord, we know that around this world, there's maybe somewhere around 40 million people whose lives are owned by someone else, who force them to work or to do all kinds of things, Lord, that are against their will. And Lord, I don't know what our humble little prayer adds to your work, but we offer it this morning. We pray for people around this world who are enslaved to others, for boys and girls and women and men. And we pray, Lord, for the people who are working to set them free and to bring your hope. We ask a blessing on them this morning, Lord, that you would bless their finances and you would give them strength and energy, that you would protect them, that you would give them wisdom and strength and power, and your spirit would be at work in lots of good ways. So, Lord, we just pray for those who are invisible to us because we don't see them standing on the corners of Niverville. But they are out there, Lord, and you take notice of them, and so we take notice of them as well. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, be blessed and have a good Sunday.